You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until Nationals baseball tonight. They take on the Dodgers on Jackie Robinson Day, the first of three. If you're looking for Caps hockey, it's over on Bloomberg 99.1. Or on the team 980, the Capitals lead 1-0 after one period as they take on the Bruins' final regular season home game of the year. Hopefully not the final home game of the year. Hopefully just the final regular season game. They wrap up the season tomorrow in Philly. But if you're looking for that, again, the team 980 or Bloomberg 99.1. We've gone through our confidence level in each quarterback prospect turning into a franchise quarterback. We went through the top three. Like I said, I was an 8 on Caleb Williams, about a 5.5 on Drake May, and about a 5 on Jaden Daniels. Let's get to the final three inside the potential first-round guys. You got Bo Nix, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy. So we'll go with J.J. McCarthy here, and this is where I think it's interesting. We're not going to spend as much time on these guys, maybe a little bit more time on McCarthy, but McCarthy to me is fine, and he would, like we talked about with some of the callers, he wouldn't surprise me at all if he steps in. He plays a similar role to what he did in Michigan, throws the ball maybe 25 times a game. He throws for like 215 yards, throws for 2 touchdowns, no picks, rushes for like 25 yards, and he wins ball games because the defense is really good and he hands the ball off and his running back is solid and he just doesn't make mistakes and he plays winning football that way. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Would not surprise me at all. You get the Alex Smith comp. It didn't surprise you when Alex Smith won football the way that he played. He depended on the defense. He didn't make mistakes. I think that's the way that you're going to have to win if you draft J.J. McCarthy. And I'm sorry, when you're drafting number 2 overall, I don't want to be limited like that. I don't want that to be my way of winning where I'm like, ugh, I can't trust my quarterback. I want to get a guy that I feel like can turn into a superstar. But that being said, my confidence level that he turns into a dude, like I said, I wouldn't be all that surprised, but I'm still kind of in that 5 range to me. Because I also don't know if he is more of a NBA-type draft pick, not an NFL-type draft pick. What do I mean by that? NFL-type draft picks usually involve a lot of production, right? It's a lot about what you did in college. It's a lot about how you were used in college. But you can look at the stats and sometimes project whether the guy is going to be a guy or not, right? You can look at those sorts of things in the NFL. They do depend a lot more on what the numbers are. Whereas the NBA, a dude could be averaging, 4 points a game and coming off the bench, and they're like, top 10 pick. Right? We haven't seen that as much because a lot of international players, but think of a Devin Booker. He was a lottery pick. He didn't start for Kentucky. I know that Kentucky team was stacked, but we've seen it with other teams. Like Deion Waiters was, I believe, a top 5 pick. He didn't start for Syracuse. Like, it's a lot more projection with those sorts of picks. I kind of think, and part of it is because of the way that Michigan played, but I think a lot of what J.J. McCarthy is like, he looks like an NFL quarterback. His body type, his size, I wouldn't say he's got an arm like Drake May, but he's got a strong enough arm. He's got mobility. He looks like an NFL quarterback. He does. Like, if you were to throw a uniform on him right now and you're saying, pick the NFL quarterback out of these guys, like, he would fit right in. He would fit right in. He'd look like an NFL quarterback. But it's not all about looking the part. It's about being the part. And I just don't know that when it comes down to it, he's going to be able to translate all the stuff that he did in college in his limited capacity to the NFL. So I think about a five. And part of the reason, too, where you're going to say, oh, some of these, you know, you have a little higher number on, the ceiling is so capped to me with J.J. McCarthy. Like, if you want to say the Alex Smith comp, you can throw out, like, a Kirk Cousins. Like, to me, that's the tier he's going to live in, right? He's not the top tier with the Mahomes and those guys. He's not that second tier where, like, Deshaun Watson was for a little bit. He's not that, you know, second or third tier with some of these. He's kind of sits there in that fourth or fifth tier, right, where it's like, he's good. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl, but he's good. Like, to me, Brock Purdy kind of falls into this area where, you know, Brock Purdy eventually is going to get a big payday. And that's going to be the time where you're like, Brock Purdy's no longer the golden child. Like, when you're paying Brock Purdy next to nothing, he looks awesome because you can pay everyone else and he can get everything to work and he doesn't have to be special. When Brock Purdy's getting $35, $40, $50 million a year and he suddenly has to be special, then yeah, that's where I don't think he shines as much. That, to me, is J.J. McCarthy. That being said, 5 out of 10 chance to me that he becomes a guy. How about you, Max?
For J.J., it's tough. I'm going to go 6.
Okay, yeah. It's really not going to surprise me if he turns into a solid NFL quarterback. Doesn't surprise me at all.
My thing with J.J. is, like, everybody says he's got that, like, the Brady thing of, like, the killer mentality when the lights come on.
He's not Brady. Come on.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously not yet.
No.
Who knows?
Stop.
Who knows?
Stop.
Who knows?
I mean, heck, if it's Tom Brady, I'd take him here. He's not Tom Brady, so I don't want him. Please do not do it.
Listen.
Please don't do it.
Drake or Jaden. It's who I want.
Agreed. Final two, we'll do these quickly. Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Bo Nix, we'll start with him. A lot of college football. To me, and this is where it gets interesting, to me, he's like a 6.5. Out of 10. Why? It would not surprise me one bit. He steps in and becomes a really good quarterback. Now, is he ever going to reach that top level? No. The ceiling is capped, like we talked about. I just don't see him ever being an elite quarterback. But could he step in to a team like the Rams, or he steps into a team that wants to have a quarterback right away? He's going to go to a better position, likely, than some of these other guys. Yeah, I think he could step in and start right away and be a solid quarterback, and he probably lives forever in that range between the 12th and 18th best quarterback, and he's just right there in the middle of the pack all the time. And maybe he wins a couple playoff games, but he can't beat, you know, the other guys that he's trying to duel against. Nothing wrong with that if you've got elite everything else, and you can kind of do that when you've got a quarterback on a rookie deal. But I kind of think that just with the amount he's played, the style that he plays, I think he's a little bit safer, but he's never going to be the elite of the elite.
Are the Vikings going to draft him at 11? I think they might.
I wouldn't be surprised. Again, like I don't have an issue with that either. Like, if that's what you want, if you just want someone that can come in and fill the shoes of Kirk Cousins in that instance, I think he can fill the shoes of Kirk Cousins.
I think that's exactly who you want to fill the shoes of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I think he fit there fine. So I go 6.5. I believe that was the number I said. What about you?
If he goes to the Vikings, 7. Anywhere else, probably 5.
Okay. Last one, Michael Penix. This one's tough because to me, the talent is always there. Like, I think he's got more running ability than he's shown. But since the injuries, you know, I remember that game at Indiana when he was facing off against Penn State and he ran for the pylon, dove, and you know, we can have that argument whether he actually hit the pylon or not, or if he was out of bounds first. Either way, he was called in to the end zone, so it ended up a win for Indiana. But I think he's got some rushing ability. I don't know that he uses it a whole lot in the league. Matter of fact, he barely used it at all when he was in Washington, but his arm is incredible. I don't know. I don't know if I fully trust him coming out of that Washington system and him being more of a college passer than an NFL passer. He's got an incredible arm where he can make all the throws. I don't know. I think he still sits in that 5.5, 6-ish range where, again, if you put him in the right situation, I could see him be totally fine. And I could see him being someone that maybe is a little bit better than Bo Nix, but I don't see him being the elite of the elite. But if you don't necessarily need that, and you've got a lot of good guys around him, I think he can be a winning quarterback. So I'll go with a 6 there for Michael Penix.
Yeah, Penix is an interesting story because it's like my biggest worry is that his knees are going to have cartilage after 5 years.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give him anything lower than a 5. That's for absolute certain. Probably a 6.5, because I think he's got all the tools. He just needs, like you said, to fit in the right system.
All right, that's going to do it for our quarterback, our confidence rating. And can they become the guy? So yesterday, like we talked about a little bit earlier, you're sitting there on your couch on a Sunday of the Masters, and you're watching Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, all those guys come down the stretch at Augusta National. And if you've never been, which I have not, I can only imagine that we're all kind of in the same boat. You're, man, I wish I was there, right? And you see all the sights, especially when they're down in Amen Corner, and you see that 12th hole. You think, man, I wish I was there. What are some of the bucket list things you want to do as a sports fan? Obviously, we're going to talk about this reporter that also got to play Augusta National today. First round of golf ever. That's awesome. What are some bucket list things for you as a sports fan? 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. Again, if you're looking for the Capitals game, they're over on Bloomberg 99.1 and the Team 980. Quick update on the score. About 15:45 left to go in the second period. The Caps up 1-0. We're taking you up until Nationals baseball right here on The Fan. Keep it tuned to overtime here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you. Taking you up till Nationals baseball tonight as they take on the Dodgers for the first of three. You're looking for the Capitals game. It is over on Bloomberg 99.1 as well as the Team 980 tonight. Just an update on the score. The Caps are up 1-0, about 10.5 to go in the second period. So we were talking about this to begin the show. Augusta National yesterday putting on a show as it always does on a Masters Sunday. Really cool to see Scottie Scheffler and what he did. You know, we were talking about this earlier with B. Mitch and Finley. Like, Valdez felt like it was a little bit of a boring Sunday. I didn't feel like it was. I felt like it was a fun Sunday to watch. To me, like, watching elite golfers go about and do their thing, where at times it's literally just about risk avoidance while they have a big lead, and it's just, you know, a course like Augusta where you miss by an inch or two, you can end up in a really bad spot. And so you just have to play super conservative and finding ways to consistently avoid the danger and minimize the damage whenever you do make a mistake, I think is impressive to watch. But either way, Scottie Scheffler wins his second green jacket But just thinking about that as they're coming down the stretch on Sunday and thinking of the opportunity to potentially go to a Masters. You know, if you're a golf fan, I'm sure it's at the top of your list or near the top of your list as a golf fan that you want to be at Augusta National, maybe on a Sunday or maybe just period at Augusta National for part of the Masters tournament. But what got me thinking, like, what are some of the bucket list items for you as a sports fan? Whether it's going to a specific stadium, going to a specific game, you know, we could nerd out on golf. We won't do that. I could spend all day telling you golf courses that I wish I could go watch a tournament at or play at. I won't do that. But I think like an open championship at a St. Andrews or something like that would be cool. But what are some other events that you wish you could attend that are on your bucket list? 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. I mean, we can start with the Masters. I would love to have the opportunity to be there just to see how pristine the grass is. And it just almost seems like a utopia where you're not allowed to have your phone and all this craziness. Sometimes it almost sounds a little bit wacky, but it also looks like it would be really, really fun to go there. So I think Augusta would be near the top of mine. But some of the others that I'm thinking about, some places that I haven't been or the experiences that I want to have. I don't know if you're a big soccer guy, Max, but even if you're not a big soccer guy, to me, the atmosphere at a Premier League soccer match or just a European soccer match between some top clubs, I think would be really cool to be at. Now, again, I'm not a huge soccer guy, so I cheer for Manchester United, which is kind of stereotypical for a fan that doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to the Premier League. But regardless of your Premier League association and your fandom, I think going to a game over there, whether it's at Arsenal, whether it's, you know, one of these top clubs, I think it'd be really cool to experience a Premier League match in England.
I think I thought you were going to go on a little bit of a different turn here. I didn't think you were going to go Premier League. World Cup. When I turned that on for the first time in, I think it was the South African World Cup. And
yeah, with all the Vuvuzelas.
Dude, that was when I was like 8 years old. It awakened something in me. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. And you know what? You're going to get an opportunity because the World Cup is coming to the U.S.,
true.
Mexico, and Canada. And what is that, 2026?
28?
Either way, it's going to be here, and you can go to some of those games. So that'll be pretty cool. I don't know. I kind of think just the environment of English soccer where they're not even chanting. They're just, like, singing in the crowd.
Yeah, no, that's electric.
It's like, it's just weird because it's nothing like what we do as American fans.
We need to do a little bit of crossbreeding in terms of fan atmosphere like that.
It is crazy. So I think that would be something that I'd want to experience. Something that I could realistically do over a weekend at some point in the near future. I've never been to Madison Square Garden.
Really?
So I want to go see, even if it's a Rangers game, I kind of to me it feels like I want to see a Knicks game there.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
I want to see a Knicks game at Madison Square Garden. That is up there on my bucket list. Another one, if we're sticking with basketball going to college, I think a Duke Carolina game at Cameron Indoor is something I would love to experience, even if you hate both teams. I mean, I think that's got to be electric. In such a small gym with such a storied rivalry that always seems to create close games, Duke Carolina at Cameron Indoor has got to be awesome.
Yeah, you got to pony up some dough for that, though. That's, well, I mean, for all of these, you're going to have to. But
yeah,
it's the dedication from, like, Duke kids at, like, who set up camp. It's ridiculous.
Krzyzewskiville, yeah. That stuff is wild. I'm trying to think of some others. I've never been to Fenway. Fenway would probably be on there as a bucket list thing. I got the opportunity last year to cross some things off. Like, I went to Wrigley Field last year. That was awesome. I've been to Lambeau Field a couple of times. If you've never been to Lambeau, you've got to do that. That is fantastic.
That's on my list.
Now, here's one that's interesting, because as a kid, I always felt like it, you know, it's on my bucket list. I don't know if it is anymore. A Super Bowl.
It's become so corporate.
It's very corporate. And I don't know if I would want, like, I'm not going to, if I got free tickets, I'm not saying no.
Of course.
So like, let's not be dumb here. Like, if you said, hey, we're going to take you and put you in the farthest seat in the corner, I'd still take it.
Fine by me.
But for the general ticket prices and everything, now, if Washington was in the Super Bowl, I might have a hard time saying no.
A little bit of a change of tune, yeah.
But I don't see that happening in the next couple of years. But to me, with the Super Bowl, you hit the nail on the head. Like, if I had to choose, would you rather go to the Super Bowl or, you know, say you're talking about Washington, would you rather go to the Super Bowl or would you rather go to an NFC Championship game? I choose an NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I think the atmosphere is just that much better. I just think that unfortunately, just because of how crazy and big the NFL is and how all that stuff works, like you said, kind of corporate, the best atmospheres in the NFL tend to be in those championship games and not in the Super Bowl itself. So I think that would be it for me. Some of those, how about for you? Are there other...
Masters is up there.
Things I'm missing? Yeah, the Masters I think would be fantastic. Actually, you know one that I missed? My mom lived in Australia for a little while. And I just missed the Australian Open by about a week and a half. I think going to a major tennis tournament, I mean, that's also something, you know, I could cross off my list, going up to the U.S. Open in New York. But I think being at the Australian Open or even Wimbledon.
I was going to say Wimbledon would be nuts.
Well, I think just going to one of those top tennis tournaments, going to a Grand Slam would be awesome. I think that's something that would be up there. How about this one that we're going to experience this summer? Now, it's not going to be here, but Paris, 2024, Olympics. Would you be interested in going to some Olympic events?
Yeah, it depends on the event, but yeah, of course.
What are your top events that you would want to go see? To me, swimming would be awesome.
Swimming, without a doubt, because they're so fast.
Swimming would be fun to see, because it probably is just unreal to see how quick they're actually moving in person.
Yeah, swimming, like the 3-on-3 basketball I'd like to watch.
Yeah, I think basketball, but to me, like, those sports are always fun, but I'm like, I watch basketball all the time with the NBA.
That's true.
Like, those sort of things. I don't know. Some of those things are cool, though. I'm trying to think.
Pole vaulting's crazy.
Track and field would be fun to see, like, a 100-meter dash.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing some of those things. A 400-meter dash. Those are some of my favorite races, when the dude has to run a whole lap.
Yeah, I like the 4x100s, too. Those relays are good.
Seeing some of the craziness going on, like the high jump and the pole vault and stuff in the infield there. I don't know. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I want to do. In terms of baseball, I want to go out to San Francisco. I've never been to San Francisco's park. That would be fantastic.
I got to get to PNC Park.
PNC is another one I haven't been to that I want to go to. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I think it's really cool, and that's the beauty of being a sports fan. It feels like there's ever-changing things. One thing that I told myself that I'm going to do, because... you know, I missed the opportunity. I was young, so I didn't always necessarily have the chance as an adult to pay for my own ticket and do things. But I want to make sure there are players. If I, you know, really like a player, a certain guy, I want to make sure I see them at least once. So I've seen LeBron, seen Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. I've seen Aaron Rodgers a bunch. Who's some of the players that you say I have to see?
Wemby.
Okay, Wembanyama. Yeah, I got to see Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei,
if we're going
yeah.
with baseball. I've seen Mike Trout multiple times. Matter of fact, Shohei Ohtani is going to be in town. Not next week. I'm trying to think. What's the timeline? Next week, yeah. Next week, about just over a week from today. Next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Dodgers are in town. Even though the Nats are taking on the Dodgers in L.A., they're coming out here next week. You got the 5-year World Series celebration against the Astros Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Monday off day, and then you've got the Dodgers Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. So if you want to see Shohei, he's going to be in town. But I'm trying to think of other... Patrick Mahomes. If
Juan
you know,
Soto.
I mean, you
it's
haven't...
A sad,
you
it's
haven't,
a sad one.
You haven't seen
no,
Juan
I've,
Soto?
No, I've seen him live, okay, but, well, you, but still, it yeah. makes me sad.
The guy, to me, if you know anything about me, that... I almost ponied up to go see him in the AFC Championship game. The guy that I want to see is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got to be incredible to watch in person. Unfortunately for me, I can say I've seen Josh Allen, because I saw him spank Washington at FedEx Field last year 37-3. So I don't know that I ever need to see Joshy Boy ever again.
I'm so glad I had that Sunday off here. That was abysmal.
I don't know that I need to see Josh Allen just doing whatever he wanted to Washington's defense again. I think I'll take a pass on that one. Let's take a break. When we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about the Nationals as well. We'll get into that. Also, if you want to hear the Capitals game, 1-0 in the second period, that's over on Bloomberg 99.1 and the Team 980 right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're carrying you up until Nationals baseball. But before we get into some more Nationals talk, I wanted to talk about some officiating fiascos that we've seen over the last couple of days. We'll talk about that next year on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer with you. If you're looking for Capitals hockey, it's over on Bloomberg 99.1, or it's over on the Team 980. About 2.5 left in the second period. The Capitals lead 1-0 there. We're taking you up until Nationals Dodgers right here on 106.7 The Fan. So I wanted to talk about this officiating fiascos that we've seen over the last couple of days. Some really, really bad officiating. And not just in baseball, not just Angel Hernandez, which, look, we can spend plenty of time talking about just Angel Hernandez, but it's not just him. I don't know if you saw this, Max, but it's something that I've never seen before. It might be one of the craziest oversights that I've personally ever seen from a professional officiating crew. But the other night, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies played 49 minutes and 6 seconds. Now, generally, an NBA game is 48 minutes.
That's right.
There wasn't overtime. It was a regulation game that they played 49 minutes and 6 seconds. Now, what happened? So, in the third quarter, there was a shot clock violation with 1 minute and 14 seconds on the clock. So, for whatever reason, when they reset the clock after the shot clock violation at 1:14, the clock was reset to 2:20. And then they just played on, never noticed. And the game ended up finishing having played an extra minute and 6 seconds.
If I am a gambler, which I am, I would be furious.
If you're
if my bets didn't hit.
In the modern era of highly commercialized sports betting, this is terrible.
Like DEFCON 1 level bad.
It cannot happen.
Cannot.
It cannot happen because, I don't know, it affects so many things. And when things like this happen, it makes you think.
Yeah.
Simply makes you think. Now, the Lakers ended up winning that game 123-120. And it's just, how do you make that oversight? As an officiating crew of three people, as someone at the scorer's table, how does no one notice that it went from 1:14 to 2:20 during the break? How does no one notice that?
That's my biggest question is, what was going on at the scorer's table?
I just don't understand how you can mess that up so that it turns out there's an extra minute and 6 seconds played. That is so bad. So bad. It's something that should be easily caught by someone on the officiating crew. I mean, just the littlest minute things always get caught by officials in these sorts of situations. Like in the fourth quarter, they catch it like, you know what, let's take it from 6.8 seconds to 7.1. Like, it's just little things like that gets changed all the time. And yet a minute six got added to a game and no one noticed?
Like, nobody at the announcer's table mentioned anything to anybody. Nobody at the scorer's table, nothing. It's insane.
Just absolutely wild to me. And in that minute and six of extra time, the Lakers and the Grizzlies both scored 2 points. So it was a 2-2 ball game in that extra minute and 6 seconds. So I don't know that it ultimately mattered.
I'm going to have to look at the over-under of that game.
But just atrocious. Just atrocious. That was horrendous. And then that gets you to Major League Baseball, who's been very, very bad with officiating and umpiring. And, I mean, this is all to say, like, NFL's off the hook because they're just not playing right now. You know, like, they're just not playing right now. Otherwise, they'd be in this mix, too, because the NFL has some pretty poor officiating as well.
We had our fair share this year. It was bad.
Yeah, absolutely. But, namely one, Angel Hernandez. But, I mean, you can go around the league and just look, but I mean, there was one earlier this week where Wyatt Langford for the Texas Rangers was rung up on three pitches that were all out of the strike zone. It's just something that has to be fixed. And to me, when you've got a guy like an Angel Hernandez who's notoriously bad, why does Major League Baseball just continue to put up with this? Like, there's got to be some sort of accountability. And to me, I've been kind of anti the electronic strike zone and kind of taking some of that human element away from it. Because to me, that's, as much as it sucks at times, that also is just part of sports. Like, as much as players screw up at times, sometimes officials are going to make bad calls. And that's fine. But it has to be that you say, these are the best of the best. You know, this is within the margin of error that is acceptable for an official, whether it's the NFL, the NBA, or baseball. Like, I can live if it's on the black and you get the call this time, but the next time, like, if it's close, I can live with it. When it's in the other batter's box, I'm sorry, dude, that's unforgivable. When it's clearly above the letters, that's unforgivable. When it's clearly below the knees, like, stuff like that, or something that's piped right down the middle and the ump's like, oh, I don't know. It didn't look like a strike to me.
I didn't see it.
What are you looking at, man? Like, that kind of stuff is why this new system that they're doing in the minor leagues, I kind of think that they should expedite that and get it into the pros, where I was not in favor of any of these electronic strike zones. But this new system that they're incorporating down in the minors, I think it's just in AAA right now. But I kind of like it. It's something as simple as a challenge system. I'm not sure how many you get per game. I think it's like 3 or 4, but it's something I think that when you get one right, you keep it. But the Nationals had one of these in the spring breakout game down in West Palm Beach during spring training. And you've seen it a couple of times, most notably with a guy, Paul Skeens, the number one overall pick from last year's Major League Baseball draft, where if you think that a pitch was called incorrectly, then you can tap the top of your head pretty much right after the pitch. You don't have time for, you know, people to go back and review it in the dugout. It's something that you have to feel, whether it's the catcher in the case of the Nationals or the pitcher in the case of Paul Skeens, where you're like, man, that pitch was good. Tap the top of your head, and they immediately send it to review. And it's something that's done within 10 seconds. Like, it's something that's done within the entirety of what's the new pitch clock. It's something that's very quick, and you can keep moving on. I think that's something that they're going to have to get to quickly in the major leagues. Now, some of the stuff is like, it's iffy because if you're living on some of the edges and like, is that really a strike by the traditional sense? Maybe not. Is it kind of nipping? I think there's going to have to be some fine tuning. But, you know, some of these, like the Nationals instance and the spring breakout game, Travis Sikora, the Nationals' third round pick from last year, threw a breaking ball at the bottom of the zone. Drew Millis was the catcher and tried to frame it, and he didn't get the call. And Millis is like, I know that was a strike right at the knees. And he tapped on his head, and they sent it to review, and it nipped the bottom of the strike zone, and it's a strikeout. Now, it's a weird, weird, weird look when it's a strikeout in that sense, and that's his first professional strikeout for Sikora, and it's weird to see it end like that. But I think having something like that to help makes some sense. Now, that doesn't excuse the fact that umpires can't just continue to make bad calls, but I think having something that helps around the edges makes some sense, right? Having something that we're all going to make mistakes, and, you know, as an official, I've never really officiated anything, but I'm sure as an official, your number one fear is screwing up big in a big spot. Like, you know, you think back to Jim Joyce and Armando Galarraga. Like, they remember that because Jim Joyce made a horrendous call of calling the guy safe at first base to end a perfect game. So you don't want to have that happen. Everyone remembers Jim Joyce. He might have been the best umpire in the major leagues. Everyone remembers him for that. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to screw up. But I think certain things can help, right? Just around the edges, just help a little bit. Where that's not an excuse. You still have to be an effective umpire. You still have to make, you know, a correct call on most of the balls and strikes. But it can help you when, yeah, that one's bad on my part. And also, something that I've seen that was good from an umpire recently was, you know, someone kind of messed up a couple of calls and the pitcher was frustrated and coming off the mound, and the umpire walked up to him and said, yeah, that's my bad. I missed a couple there. That's on me. We can live with that. We understand that they're human. We understand that they're going to make mistakes. Those sorts of things make it so that you don't have a crazy ego and we can work together, because I know you're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. We can work together on that. I just think that there are ways that they can improve some of these things, you know, especially with baseball. I think it's coming very quickly. I think it is something that'll be here very soon. I don't know when, but the fact that it's already showing up pretty consistently in AAA, I think is going to make its rounds and it's going to end up in the major leagues sooner rather than later. But, I mean, just to wrap this up, like the officiating error in that NBA game, I don't care who you are, that, my friends, is inexcusable. That is horrific. Let's take a break. When we come back, I do want to talk about the Nationals. James Wood's been tearing it up in AAA. We'll talk about him. Also want to talk about C.J. Abrams, update you on him. I had a Nats Dodgers here on The Fan, an update on the Capitals and the Bruins. It's still 1-0. We're in the second intermission. If you want to hear that game, it's over on Bloomberg 99.1 and the Team 980. We're going to keep talking about the Nationals leading up to Nats Dodgers right here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. If you're looking for Capitals hockey, that's over on Bloomberg 99.1. It's also on the Team 980. The Capitals lead 1-0 in the second period. So I think this is interesting. I want to talk about this briefly, and then we're going to get into Nationals baseball at 9 o'clock. But Chick Hernandez, I saw, tweeted this out about 5:45 today, that Jaden Daniels is actually going to meet with the Commanders tomorrow? I thought that they were meeting today.
No, I think he gets in town tonight.
So he gets in town tonight, but what's interesting is all the reports are saying that, like, Drake May's going to be here tomorrow, that J.J. McCarthy was going to be here tomorrow, and that Michael Penix Jr. was going to be here tomorrow.
When's the last day?
I think it's tomorrow or Wednesday.
I think it was 17th, I think, was the number.
So that would be on Wednesday. So apparently, all these quarterbacks are coming through at the same time?
Yeah, I guess Jaden's coming in the morning, Drake will do the afternoon, and then J.J. will do the morning, and Michael Penix will do the afternoon.
It just doesn't make much sense to me. They've had how much time to do this?
Yeah, it's a little rushed, I feel like.
It's a little bit odd to me that...
Who knows? Maybe they've made their choice.
I don't know that they have, but to me it's just odd, because why would you decide that you're going to interview all these guys, which is the right process to do that. You know, even if you're not keen on taking J.J. McCarthy, I think it's the right process to bring him in, even Michael Penix Jr., I think, to an extent as well. Why is everyone coming in at the same time? Is this something... I hope it's not, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but I hope it's not something where they're like, oh, shoot, we have to get these done. You know, I hope it's not something like that. But why are these all so late? I understand, like, you kind of got to make some of these schedules work with the guys, but they're all so late. To me, it just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I don't know that there's a whole lot of stuff to make of it. Like, I don't know that it's anything that coming in for these top 30 visits are going to entirely change their board. I think they have an idea of who they're going to take. I don't know that they've 100% made up their mind, but I don't know that any one thing in these meetings is going to 100% sway things. But they are still important parts of the process, and everything seems to be coming down to the final couple days, and now everyone is crammed into one little session between four guys. One little 24, 48-hour period, and you got four guys that you want to talk to. Now, I don't know how serious it is with Penix. I don't know that it's entirely serious with McCarthy either. So maybe it's something where, you know, they do a quick one-on-one for an hour or something like that, look through some film and say, all right, I'll see you later. Or it's something with Penix where, you know, you're talking through some of the injury. I don't know what it exactly is. Maybe it's something with Penix where you bring him in, you want to clear up all the medicals, right, and make sure that you're comfortable with the surgeries and his injuries. Okay, that's fine. Still, I don't quite get why it's so last minute. But bringing in Jaden and Drake May, that now they're kind of in conflicting times, it seems like, is a little bit odd to me, because you would think that you'd want a full day with both of those guys, kind of just to do the various things that you do with a potential draft pick, whether it's, you know, walking them around the facility, maybe introducing them to some of the players if they're in town, or whatever the case may be, talking through some things, maybe even having them, you know, on a top 30 visit. I'm not quite sure the rules, but maybe just even them, have them throw a couple balls to Terry McLaurin on some routes or something like that. You know, just simple stuff like that. And then much less an interview process and walking through all the various, you know, film that they want to watch together. It's a little odd that now it seems like it's going to be a bit rushed. I get that, you know, these guys have schedules too, and they're working and doing all these things, but it is just a little bit odd to me that you're going to be down to the last minute on these things, and they're all meeting at the same time. I mean, we talked about it earlier. I'm kind of fine with either of Drake May or Jaden Daniels. I think that either one of them can be really good quarterbacks. But I don't know, does this feel... this doesn't feel right.
It doesn't... like, I'm grinding on this computer to see if I can find a little bit more information about, like, the timeline of all of this. Because I think the timeline I laid out is actually surprisingly accurate. Because Jaden... the story is Jaden gets into town tonight, and the visit goes into Wednesday. And then Drake comes in the afternoon tomorrow, I guess. And then
so,
he's
hold on,
out.
Hold on, real quick. You're saying he comes in tonight and then into Tuesday.
The tweets I read today was that Jaden was coming into town tonight, the night of the 15th. They were going to have a meeting, probably dinner, I assume. And then he's going to come in tomorrow to the facility.
Yeah, hang out in the facility for a little bit. And then it's going to be similar sort of thing with Drake May on Tuesday night into Wednesday,
I believe. But then I'm also reading that Michael Penix was supposed to come, what was it? I saw Wednesday night? Set for Tuesday night and Wednesday, which is tomorrow.
It's just odd.
They feel stacked on top of each other. It's very weird.
And I don't care that they're right next to each other. To me, I don't care that it's one after one.
But you've had
all of it to be the last second when you've already known who these people were. I don't want to make something I don't want to make something up that isn't there, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem...
it raises the eyebrows, that's for sure.
Definitely. It raises your eyebrows because this has been, for the most part, a professional operation.
Quite.
This doesn't seem as professional to me.
No.
This seems very old regime-ish. It'd be like rushed, like, oh yeah, we've got to
do this. We got to get them all in here.
And maybe it's just something where schedules weren't aligned. But also, I don't know if I'm any of the other quarterbacks. I don't know that I'm prioritizing the Patriots or anyone else. Washington picks two, man. And essentially, in a lot of ways, the draft starts at two. Because we all know that Caleb Williams is wearing Chicago Bears. You know, he's going to be a Chicago Bear, We already know that. So the draft kind of starts it too. Like, to me, if I'm Jaden Daniels or Drake May, especially knowing that those two are kind of the favorites to be the pick, like, I'm not choosing to go to New England. I'm not choosing to go to Minnesota or anywhere else. I'm going to say Washington, when you want to meet, man. Let's do this. As soon as they call, as soon as it rings, like, I'm doing it. Now, if it's something, though, where Washington, you know, Minnesota calls and like, hey, can we meet on, you know, say, you know, whatever it is. If I've already got stuff booked, I'm not going to drop those prior obligations to come to Washington.
Yeah, absolutely.
But why wasn't Washington already on the phone figuring these things out?
Who knows? Maybe the prospects just didn't mess with the vibe.
I just don't. This one doesn't make much sense to me. I don't. Again, I don't want to make something of something that isn't there. But it is a little bit odd. It just seems like the timing, and I don't know. I don't necessarily love it. I don't know that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm sure that they're going to figure the stuff out. But I don't know. It just doesn't, again, like you said, it kind of raises your eyebrow. Ultimately, it probably doesn't matter. Maybe we can get an answer in the coming days, but it is something that's a little bit interesting. All right, let's take a break from this. I want to talk about the Washington Nationals. You know, they're going to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in a three-game series tonight. We'll recap a little bit of what happened in the A series. Mitchell Parker making his MLB debut tonight. We'll talk about him. James Wood is dominating AAA. When could he make his debut? Also, C.J. Abrams continues to show that he might be on his path to becoming a superstar. We're going to talk about all that ahead of Nats Dodgers. If you're looking for the Capitals game, the third period's about to begin. The Capitals leading 1-0 over the Boston Bruins over at Capital One Arena. That game's over on Bloomberg 99.1 and the Team 980. We're over here on 106.7, The Fan, taking you up to Nats Dodgers. Overtime continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.